You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York.
Good morning, everyone. This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 41 to 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The word of the Lord.
Be to God.
Is it not relieving that the most holy parents on the face of the earth forgot God and then didn't know they forgot him for 3 days? How many of us forgot our keys? Has anybody lost their keys when you're already late? Imagine you lost Jesus and didn't know. Like, it's just relieving to me. Like, we don't have to get it right. We just have to try to mitigate how much we get it wrong. That's basically what we're supposed to do. John, that worship set was incredible. I'm stuck on it right now. It was so good. The title of today's message is Merry Expressmas. Merry Expressmas. I want to talk about how we move so fast to Christmas. We move so fast from Christmas. We are on the Polar Express. We are on the express train. We are motoring through life. And the problem is the express train sees life. Listen to this. The express train sees life through the lens of start and finish. I started a job. I got to finish it. It's 9 a.m. I got to get to 5 p.m. I started my commute to work. I got to finish my commute to work. I started parenting. We got to finish parenting. This relationship started. This relationship finished. Our whole life, this project that I'm doing in the bathroom started, this project needs to finish. This work I'm doing on myself and this self-care and this mental healing that I'm trying to move forward in, it's got to finish, right? Like at some point, will we be able to look ourselves in the mirror and be like, I'm now fully and completely healthy? Is that ever going to happen? Morgan, is that going to happen? Don't answer that question. You're a licensed professional. You're going to say no. I don't want to hear it happen. But like, there's moments where like, we have to finish. Like, we have to get done. I mean, we tell our kids to start cleaning their room. We're good at that. And then what happens between go clean your room and what the heck has been going on for the last 45 minutes? Why is the living room messy now and your room is still messy? Like, we want to finish. The express train only sees life through the lens of start and finish. The local train sees life. Period. The express train sees, what do I have to get done? When am I going to get it done? The local train sees life. It's slow enough where we will get to where we're going, but not at the expense of missing all the beauty on the way. Because that's what Jesus came to tell us, is that the beauty around us is not in the completion of anything, but it's always in the process of whatever it is we're looking at. The process of our employment, the process of our finances, the process of our healing, the process of our relationships, the process of putting things back together again, the process of things falling apart tells us a story about why it did. The process of war, the process of peace. The beauty is seen when we don't fly to what we perceive is the finish line, because the finish line, I believe, and correct my theology on this, is the one who said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the starting line and I'm the finish line. So if our destination isn't Jesus, if our destination is the completion of a task, we're going to do all the right things and not know we love Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Mary and Joseph had the right liturgy. They had the right social networks. They had the kind of social networks where they could assume that their kid was with those people and safe for 3 days. There's a little comedy to that, but there's also something to be said about the fact that they were part of a group that pushed each other to go do the right thing spiritually all the time. They were part of a group that traveled together, kept themselves safe together, worshiped together, came home worshiping together, went to worship worshiping together. Read the Psalms of Ascent. They went to worship worshiping. They came home from worship worshiping. They had a community where the kids could run freely from family to family and be safe. We need to work on that in 2025. We need to have that kind of home. We need to have those kinds of friends. We need to become those kinds of friends for other people. We can rush through success. We can maybe more so rush through failure and leave Jesus where we should be. But here's the main part. Mary and Joseph didn't just leave Jesus where they should have been. They left Jesus in what they should have been. They are the temple. Mary specifically is the first person to actually be the temple, holding in her actual self the presence of God, like the burning bush did, like the sky did, like the temple did, like the tabernacle did. Now she was the one, and she forgot that she not only should be in the temple, but be the temple herself. How does Mary fix this in herself? Two times, she treasures these things in her heart. So it got me thinking about how there's a way in which we can receive an event or we can treasure something. We receive things, we interact with circumstances, and we move. Express train, Polar Express, going, going, going. Got to get there. It's almost midnight. Got to get there. Got to see Santa. Go. And then we can treasure things, which is a bit of a scenic route. And so I found, and you could find more, I'm sure, five very quick moments in the Bible where somebody went from the express train to the local train by not slowing down their physical body, because sometimes we can't. Can I get a witness for at least one other person in the room who you can't slow down right now? Like life has you on a conveyor belt and it's just going. Am I the only one? It's just going. Is everybody else relaxed besides me? Is this like a me issue? Anybody else feel like the years go fast but the days are long? Like, okay. All the kids are agreeing with me. We can't always slow down our body, but we can slow down our mentality. So the first one is when Joseph tells his brothers and his dad that he had a dream that they're all going to bow down to him. Not what you want to hear from a sibling, not what you want to hear from a child, but here's what happened. But when he, Joseph, told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Something shifted in Jacob. He went from being angry and rebuking to being thoughtful. The gift Jesus gives us is the ability to go from the express train of anger to the local train of thoughtfulness. It's a gift he's giving you during these 12 days of Christmas. He's giving you the ability, you hold in yourself the ability today to go from an impulsive, angry moment to a slow, thoughtful moment. It is a gift that is better than, as the Bible would say, silver and gold. Amen? You would see it most when somebody else in your life goes from being angry at you to being thoughtful about you, and then we can try to replicate that. I'm going to move through these relatively quickly. The next one, Luke chapter 1. This is when everybody thought that Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to name John the Baptist after Zechariah. And Zechariah is going to say, nope, that's not going to be his name. And listen to what happens. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all the neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. They went from saying, you have to name him Zechariah because that's what we do, to then wondering, not rejecting, but wondering, what sort of person is this going to be that something so unusual would happen? And this is the gift God gives us, to go from the express train of idealism to the local train of possibilities. We all have things in our life that work, and they work so well we get stuck in them. And then we idealize them, and we have to learn, and God will always give you an opportunity to do this, that there are other possibilities that will work besides the things that have been working. And so he sometimes disrupts what's working to open us up to new and more sustainable methods in our lives. It's a gift that's better than silver and gold. Amen? Okay. I half believe that you really believe that, but here we are. The next one, Luke chapter 2, 18 and 19. This is when the shepherds came and told Mary and Joseph in the manger and Jesus in the manger that angels showed up. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. God gives us the gift of the express train of disappointment becoming the local train of perspective. Mary and Joseph went to an inn to have a baby, and there's enough drama surrounding this pregnancy as it is. That's all we'll say. And she has to have the baby in a barn, and I'm sure at that point they're both wondering, did we do something wrong? Is this bad? Is God cursing this? This isn't really how blessings are supposed to work. And then people show up and say, by the way, heaven opened and told us to tell you that we were told that this baby would be in a manger. And all of a sudden, what felt wrong was confirmed as being from God, and disappointment morphed into a change of perspective. When we're going too fast, something will happen in a way and we'll be like, that was wrong, and we'll feel disappointed. But if we can slow down and get off that express train, get on the local train, we may realize that there's a unique perspective of the thing that we think is so messed up, and it may be so right, so holy, so unique, and so precious. It's a gift God gives us that's more important than silver and gold. Amen? Luke 2:51, we just read this. And Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. The first thing Mary says is, why'd you do this to me? And you could imagine Jesus is like, why did I do this to you? I believe I'm 12. I believe you forgot about me. I believe that you love me so much you didn't know I was gone for 3 days. Why did I do this to you? Funny thing is, the worship team and I were talking in the prayer room before, and we said, you know, Mary lost Jesus for 3 days, and then 30 years later, she's going to lose him for 3 days again, yes? And just like this time, he's going to show up after 3 days. And I thought to myself, I wonder if she said the same exact thing to him but meant it differently. When he was 12, he's like, why'd you do this to me? And then after he rose from the dead and she found him again after another 3 days, she probably said, who am I that you would do this to me? You see the difference? Accusation, why'd you do this to me? Praise, I can't believe you would do this to me. Redeem me and save me of my sins. One of them being forgetting about you when you were 12. We can get off the express train of accusation, and we can get on the local train of reformation or reformation, of being reformed by what's happening in God. Being reformed by what's happening in our mistakes. Let me say that differently. Being reformed by the God who is happening while our mistakes are happening. A God who never stops happening even when our mistakes don't stop happening. A God who doesn't allow bad things to happen, but who is the good thing that's always happening in the bad things so that all things can work together for good. That's who he is, and it's a gift, and it's better than silver and gold. Amen? We're getting better. Finally, the Holy Spirit descends in Acts chapter 2. And all were amazed and perplexed. People are speaking in tongues all over the place. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking, saying, "They are filled with new wine. They're soused. They're just buzzed." Some said, "I can't believe these people would drink so early in the morning." Others said, "What does this mean?" We can get off the express train of cynicism. This is for everybody, just so you know. I would like to say, some of these may be for some of you. This one is for everyone, and for me, and for even you, Jacqueline, at home. But I only say that now because you're not physically here, so I could tease you a little bit and not be shot through by her stares. But I do have to go home, incidentally, so that's going to backfire. You got to go home. Got to do it. Got to have to do it. Said I would forever, right there. So I'm going. Our cynicism can turn to curiosity. Our cynicism can turn to curiosity. I'm going to put you on the spot. Frank, what is that Ted Lasso quote when he's throwing darts? Be curious, not judgmental. Good job, man. That was good. You're ready for that one. Had it in the back pocket. Nice. There's a way that we can get off the express train of cynicism, just picking apart everything that's happening and finding something wrong with it. It's exhausting for you. It's exhausting for people who have to deal with it. And we could get on the local train of curiosity. God does things in weird ways. He heals people by saying, "Stand up." He heals other people by putting mud on their face. And imagine you saw the dude with mud on his face. You'd say, "This guy's crazy," not knowing that the master of the universe, love itself, put that mud on his face. We could slip up being cynical and start rebuking things that God is doing in others and in our own life. So I say this. Jesus finds us by allowing us to search for him all over again. How? He's in us, listening and asking questions. He's in the temple, listening and asking questions. He's in you, and he's listening. As we said, can you hear him listening? And he's asking questions. Are we able to get quiet enough and slow enough to hear the questions he's asking? He's listening to everything you're going through, and he's asking you questions about it. Get off the express train. Get on the local train. Merry localness. And listen to what he's asking. Well, I don't know what he's asking me. I can give you one way to know that it's his voice. He is the God and the King who went from a manger to a cross. So his questions in you might sound like, is what you're doing right now for your own gain or for the good of another? Is what you're doing right now revealing the God who died for you while you were still sinners? Are you treating other people with the same generosity that the God who loved you at your worst gave you? Are you trying to accumulate as opposed to offer? These are the types of questions he asks. I told you about that time that Theo wouldn't go to sleep at night, and I said, "Lord, help this kid. Put your hand on his mouth." And the Holy Spirit said so clearly to me, "I will not help him go to sleep, but I will teach you to be the kind of dad who can stay awake." That's the kind of stuff he's saying in us. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We are now going to conclude by praying for the world, and then we have some fun performances by our children. We will take communion, and we will go home carrying Christmas with us. So we're going to pray these prayers. They were meant to be prayed on Christmas Eve, so they may have the verbiage of nighttime, but that's fine. And your response will be on the screen. Why don't you just take 30 seconds? Let's just quiet ourselves, and we can hear the voices of our children. And just know that everything God is giving you is what he wants you to give to the person next to you and to the world around you. Let's pray, and your response is on the screen. We pray for public officials, rulers, and leaders in our own time. Give them wisdom in their declarations and decisions, a will for the common good, the humility to admit wrong, the grace to change their ways while leading, the boldness to stay the course when their course is right and good, and the courage to work for peace in local communities and among the nations. Lord, we pray together. We pray for those who live, serve, and have their being in the communities formed by our public officials, rulers, and leaders. May we support in ways that honor what is good and seek to perpetuate that good to further generations. May we disagree in ways that draw attention to injustice without destruction. May we bring to light what is harmful without devaluing relationships. May we speak truth that needs to be spoken in ways that allow for opposing views and not in ways that eliminate conversation. May disagreement breed creativity and not emotional unrest. May Christ's love motivate all we do. Lord, we pray together. We pray for those who work and watch this night, for those who work in hospitals and public service positions, for those who serve our country in all branches of the military here and around the globe, for those who work in positions that will be functioning during the Christmas holidays, such as airports, shelters, hotels, and places of hospitality, and will not be able to be home with their families. Lord, we pray together. We pray for all who suffer, those who are sick, and those who are dying. We pray for those who are cold, for those who are lonely or grieving, for those who are hungry and thirsty, and for those who struggle with addiction. We pray for those who experience sudden destruction due to weather, fire, or other natural disaster. We pray for those who are disappointed, overworked, and tired. We pray for those who have never been able to feel secure, content, or loved, and for those who have been violated and abused. Lord, we pray together. We pray for families and friends, for those who are with us, and for those who have gone from us. Through your unconditional mercy, may they be at rest in you. We pray for those who are far away, for those who are traveling, and for those whose lives are currently complicated and in need of your divine guidance this Christmas season. We pray for those who are new in our lives, those who remain in our lives, and those we have not encountered yet but will encounter soon. And like Jesus, may we never meet a stranger, but live in a way that makes all strangers friends. Lord, we pray together. And finally, we pray that those who live in the midst of war may instead live without fear and destruction. We pray that those who live with the threat of danger in homes or on city streets may instead dwell in safety, and that all your creation and creatures may be restored and renewed. We pray to you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that through Jesus Christ and his church, your glory will brighten every darkness, lift every burden, quench every thirst, warm every cold, heal every heart, and bless every soul, and that your peace will fill all in all. Lord, we pray together. Father God, conform our prayers to your will and use us to accomplish your purpose for the sake of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.